All right. At this moment, let me also introduce Dr. Om Srivastav, member of the Maharashtra COVID Task Force, Dr. S.K. Sareen, Vice-Chancellor of ILBS, Dr. Naveen Dang, founder of Dr. Dang's Labs, and Dr. Sudarshan Balal, chairman of Manipal Hospitals. Thank you very much. Let me begin with you first, Dr. Balal. Do you feel that the first thing that we need to do is to realize that a third wave is possible? The reason why I ask you this question, Dr. Balal, is in the case of the second wave, somewhere institutionally, we were very convinced that this is the beginning of the end of the pandemic. In fact, we can now officially call this an endemic and then slowly, you know, tone it down. But then you had the second wave. So don't you think the first thing institutionally that needs to happen is to convince yourself that yes, a third wave can happen?
Good evening, Sanket. Thank you for having me in this program. I fully agree with you that there's no role for complacency in the fight against the pandemic. I think we should think that it is possible to have the third wave because the virus numbers are increasing. And certainly, as far as we know about it, it is very easily transmissible. So I think we should think that there could be a third wave. That doesn't mean we need to panic. What it means is we have to be prepared for a possible third wave, however mild it is, and we continue with the precautions to try and prevent the spread of the disease, which is public health measures, COVID-appropriate behavior, and mass vaccination. So I think there's certainly no role for complacency.
True. Dr. Dang, the last time, the biggest problem or one of the big problems that we faced were the lack of testing kits. It's understandable because when there will be a wave, a sudden rise in the number of people getting tested, there will be a shortage. This time around, apart from the gold standard RT-PCR, what steps do you recommend that we put in place quickly so that testing is not a problem?
Sanket, at this moment, in the last 1.5 years, a lot of water has flowed under the bridge. And I'm glad to say there's no shortage of any kind of a kit which is there. The RT-PCR kits are there in the ample. Good quality kits are there, easily available at an affordable cost. And along with that, ICMR and other government organizations have taken very interesting decisions of allowing so many other kits which are equivalent to RT-PCR to be marketed and to be available. Now we have things like Abbott ID, which can give a result in 15 minutes. We've got CBMAP and Cepheid, which can give the report in about 1 hour or so. So there's no dearth of good quality kits which are available. So I do not anticipate any shortage to occur in the near future.
Okay. Dr. Sareen, two or three questions all related to our vaccination drive. Do you feel that now we must proceed as far as the next stage of our vaccination drive is concerned? I know there is a lot of study being done on whether booster shots work or not. But do you feel that at least for the vulnerable, the ones with comorbidities, the frontline workers, those who got the vaccines in January and February should be eligible for booster doses?
Well, it's the debatable and contentious issue. But as you see, many countries who had an extra dose, like for one person, there were 9 dosages available in UK or 6 in the US. They had the prerogative of giving a booster early enough. If you ask me if vaccine is available, and as I read somewhere that the Serum Institute is reducing its production by half, and I think if it gives full production, if we have full vaccine, I think booster is a booster. It will boost your immunity. If you take a booster now, it will take 2 to 4 weeks by the time your antibodies go. Somebody has taken a vaccine in January. In about 6 months, the antibody levels very often will come down below 5 or 8. What is your minimum protective level? Second, our vaccines give 70% efficacy, 80%. You still have a group who never mounted an antibody response. Therefore, for vulnerable frontline workers, my recommendation is clear. If vaccine is available, give it. You don't even have to pay, give it free. You can make it available in market and somebody can buy. But they should at least have the opportunity of having a booster dose. The other part is the original vaccine, which we had was for Wuhan virus. That vaccine was 4.5 times less effective against Delta. So people got reinfected. Now people who have got three vaccine dosages, even in Israel where the Pfizer vaccine was there, a reinfection has occurred. But those who got booster do not go to hospitals. Those who got boosters do not have serious illness. Therefore, giving vaccine is the third dose, a booster would be a wise decision if we have the vaccine.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Om Srivastav, now for some important questions related to testing and how it can be increased, genome sequencing and how it can be stepped up, and most importantly, and this is a very important function, of keeping data integrity, that is ensuring that the correct data is put out there. How important do you think this is in our fight? Because often we see what some of the states were accused of doing was of fudging data or not putting out the correct data. We'll never know the magnitude of the problem.
Very true, Sanket. You've made some very important points. The first part is, I'm going to take the last question first.
Sure.
How important it is to ensure that the data is kept with as much integrity and reported with as much integrity. That is very important. I think there may be independent bodies that will collect the data. There may be independent bodies that will analyze the data. And that would then go into something like a peer-reviewed journal, you know, or if that's possible, to have a randomized controlled trial of the data that you are claiming is effective in your system. That would have to be three separate parts of what you want to do with the data coming your way. So yes, I would think that all three parts are crucial. They are integral to why the scientific community will look upon the data coming out of whether it's your state or your country and take you seriously. Because if you are going to say something that is preposterous, or something that is not going to cut any ice, then obviously your own integrity is going to be, you know, on the line. So I would think that yes, that part is very important. The data security, safety, and the publishing of data, whatever it is, should be put across in the way it is without having any kind of change in the data, that the way it was collected, and that would be the biggest test of the integrity. You had another question. I think you had one more question besides.
I'll circle back to you. Just give me a moment. I'll circle back to you. Dr. Balal, you see, last time around, we saw something very interesting happening when there was shortage. Hospitals at their level were coordinating with other hospitals on whether there is some spare oxygen or some medicines. But this was more of a personal communication. Do you think that one of our biggest learnings from the second wave could have been to institutionalize this process? Perhaps the central government or the state government could do this. Would you like to tell us what your plan is, for instance, at your hospital, to not just test, track, treat, but also to make sure that the oxygen supply is augmented, the medicine supply is augmented, and beds are available?
You hit the nail on the head, Sanket. I think during the last wave, what was very obvious is in the initial stages, actually the patients had to do the coordination. They were running from pillar to post, from hospital to hospital, looking for bed and oxygen. The next stage, of course, was the chain of hospitals and individual hospitals coordinated with each other to find out the right bed, the right kind of bed and oxygen. Then, of course, as we learned more about this, we had central dashboards usually set up by the municipal corporation, which sort of was quite effective in many cities, including our own. So I think one of the learnings this time is that we should have a central dashboard where the beds, oxygen, ICU requirements, and everything else that's needed for the care of COVID is coordinated centrally, and it's not left to the patient or, for that matter, even individual hospitals to do that. We, as a large chain, certainly internally will have enough communication with each other to know where the bed was available or is available and what kind of facilities the patients needs. But we need much more than that for a coordinated effort.
Okay. Dr. Tang, before I come to you, just one question I wanted to ask Dr. S.K. Sareen. You see, in a press conference on Friday, Dr. V.K. Paul of the Niti Aayog, he has said that the WHO is warning against the decline of mask usage. Global scene of Omicron is disturbing. We are now operating at a risky and unacceptable level of wearing masks. We have to remember that both vaccines and masks are important. Now, Dr. Sareen, all you have to do is, say for instance, we are in Delhi, step out of the municipal limits of Delhi, and you will see that masks are something that is laughed at, right? It is a very rare commodity. It is something which has perhaps not penetrated. I don't know how the government measured how the masking has gone down. But how do you spread awareness down to the back of beyond that mask is what will save you as a first line of defense?
See, bhaya bina preet na hoye gosai. Bhagwan se bhi aadmi tabhi dosti karta hai jab usse dar lagta hai. In simple words, kyunki ye sare logon ko pahunchna hai, isliye main hindi mein bola hu. If you are not scared, you will not follow it. But let me tell you, there has been instances in the US birthday parties, the virus is spread increased by about 11-fold. Old people's parties, it spread by 7-fold when the people got collected. And Omicron is spreading 3.5 times faster than Delta. So if one person has Omicron and he spreads in one party, you're done with. Therefore, please remember that it will not announce, it is not a visible thing. And as you can see, I just come from the clinic. I have double mask. Since I'm in my room, I'm not using. The mask must be worn. Your best vaccine today and will remain for 2022 is your self-lockdown. Nobody would be able to help you if you get the virus. And it is a virus which will spread to your family, your children who are not vaccinated, sure, your elderly people who might have a low immunity. So wherever you are, don't take chances. And self-lockdown is the first thing that you should do and follow for next 1 year.
Okay.
Second part, which you asked, why the trend has gone down. I think we have to be seeing people. You have to lead by example. At least doctors do by that example. I would suggest that every senior citizen who is responsible and is, you know, at a place should follow that priority.
Correct.
I also want to say through you that we need quickly self-testing kits in our houses. These are easily available in the US and other countries. You get a kit, you can get yourself tested. And if you have slightest flu, because your testing might just show you that you may not have positive value, but if somebody has cough, cold or some similar COVID-like illness, you must get tested and isolate yourself.
Sure.
Okay. These are precautions which we have to follow in winter. For at least next few weeks.
Sure. Dr. Dang, I now want to come to you, last word. Your suggestions, sir, to prevent a third wave. Something apart from test, which we keep hearing.
Sanket, actually, Dr. Sareen has very well summarized what needs to be done and needs to be said. Of course, one thing I always say is that strengthen the government hospitals, the testing capacity of the government hospitals. We have got such fantastic government hospitals, may they be local corporation hospitals or simple hospitals, etc. I think all of them should be having RT-PCR systems out there. Running the RT-PCR is no rocket science at all. I would humbly request all government hospitals which are there to be well equipped to handle this. Number two, of course, any super spreader event which is happening should immediately be stopped. Action should be taken immediately. That is, I mean, from today onwards, that what we have to face 1 year back or a few months back should not once again be repeated. And that is getting repeated, and Dr. Sareen and Dr. Balan, etc., have very nicely put out forward that it is just our own fault.
Correct.
In the triage of virus, doctors, that is the healthcare workers, and the environment, what is going to affect us most and destroy a cycle, if you permit me to say that, is the third thing, that is the environment. We have to be careful. We cannot let our guards down. We have to proceed forward with the way that the battle is going on.
We cannot afford a third wave. Very quickly, Dr. Srivastav, the question I wanted to ask you was on genome sequencing and how do we fare on that front?
I think that we will, you know, I think we will all agree that we would like to do much more than what we are doing, because mm-hmm. that is going to be the way forward. It's not just about the second wave or the third wave. It's also about how long this epidemic is going to last in our lives. What's going to be, I hope that I'm wrong, but what's going to be the next infectious disease outbreak? You know, the information that comes out of the genome sequencing is going to be priceless. It's going to be, you know, gold dust. And so we need to invest more in genome sequencing, even though at this time we would say that, look, we don't have enough machines, we don't have enough labs to collect the samples and do the genome sequencing. We must endeavor to keep going forward more and more. It's a little bit like the RT-PCR when the first wave was coming to an end and the second wave was starting. And that at that time, we didn't have enough RT-PCR kits, enough RT-PCR conducting laboratories. Hmm. But look at what the numbers that we have right now. In much the same way, genome sequencing is going to be, I cannot emphasize how important it's going to be for further scientific endeavors.
True.
For us to know that this is what the virus looked like in December of 2021. And if indeed there is something True. Else of the virus or other viruses that come into our lives, how we are going to be able to make a strategy to counter okay. them. Because a lot of therapy that will come out in the next several years, maybe a few Correct. Decades, is going to come out of the genome sequencing. So I can't emphasize that
Absolutely.
Enough.
Absolutely. Dr. Srivastav, Dr. Sareen, Dr. Dang, as well as Dr. Bilal, thank you very much for joining us. We come to the end of this broadcast, but all that one can say is that the virus is still out there, strong and invisible, and its variants. And we have only two things that we can do. Either get vaccinated, not either or, get vaccinated, and also wear your mask. Good night and goodbye.